last week's episode, the Jets have gone 2-1, and we'll break down a couple of those games. The Bombers are officially eliminated from playoff contention. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's all right here on episode 9 of Crossover Sportscast. I'm Sean, that's Hasselhoff, and we start right now.
Crossover. Wow, you know what would be great if we had some, like, waiting elevator music in the background?
That would be great.
Crossover Sportscast.
And I think that we make playoffs next year.
With Sean Perrin.
Was that my job to figure that out?
And Jordan Hasselbeck.
And Seth Laffey. I love self-deprecation.
Crossover.
And it is coming to you forthwith.
God damn it, that's going to be in the intro.
Hasselhoff.
That would have been a good start. How's it going, Sean?
Man, I'm still hungover from 2 days ago.
What'd you do 2 days ago?
Well, I went to Judas Priest.
At the MTS Center, a sports venue?
Yeah.
Gotta make sure we have a sports connection there.
Yes, it was a sports venue. It was the sports venue in Winnipeg.
Important. The sports venue in Winnipeg. Well, it's not the only one, but probably the premier one, right?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, the, you know, they say, like, this is the...
There's no cracks in the concrete.
No. There are not.
Well,
funny that you should mention that. Yeah. Actually, what I found was really funny was a little while ago, there was a press conference at Investors Group Field, and it was about the Bombers taking a lead role in violence against women.
Yeah.
But I found it quite hilarious how it very quickly turned into the shitty state of IG Field and the cracks in the concrete and stuff.
Is that because of the questions the reporters were asking?
Yes, that's exactly what it was about. The reporters turned it into an inquest about, like, the quality of concrete. And it's just ridiculous. Like, you were there... You were there to talk about violence against women and how the Bombers are actually, like, trying to do something about it.
Yeah.
But it turned into,
So I guess, are you blaming the reporters, saying they're doing a bad job of their job?
I mean, I'm not going to go out on a limb here and in the public and say that the reporters are doing a bad job. However, it's just funny how in Winnipeg, it'll go from violence against women to
infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
It all comes back to infrastructure.
Yeah, it does, right?
It's funny. They say that it's a big deal in the States where people don't care about infrastructure. It's not sexy, as people say. I feel like infrastructure is the thing that people in Winnipeg care most about.
It is. It's because we have such shitty infrastructure.
I guess. That's it.
I mean, like, how often can people hit their car, hit a pothole in the road, you know, and...
It happens
all the time. All the time.
Every damn day. But, yeah, no, I don't know. It's funny.
Pardon me. I'm just messing with the levels here on the fly. So, live production, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not sexy.
It's not sexy.
Definitely not sexy.
No, it's just like it's just like infrastructure. It's not sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just getting a text message here.
Oh, hey, who's it from?
My girlfriend.
Oh, what does she say? Please share.
She's saying she's hiding from the rain inside the school. So, not a sexy message.
Nope, not a sexy message there.
No, I know, really. I've really let you down on that one.
I was really hoping it was going to be something dirty.
Speaking of sexy messages, that's a terrible segue. That's an awful segue. Who's our sponsor this week, Sean?
Was that my job to figure that out? Yes, apparently that was my job to figure that out.
Yeah.
So, luckily for us, I did figure that out. And it is coming to you forthwith.
That's going to sound so edited, and the word forthwith is just...
I say it all the time. It's my word. Okay.
You're a trope of encyclopedic words.
A trope?
Man, that was terrible. I can't believe I just did that.
A trope of encyclopedic words.
Yeah. See, that's what you got to do. You got to make up words.
Words, ladies and gentlemen, by Jordan Hasselbeck. Yeah.
That's going to be my book. If I ever do write a book, I will call it Words by Jordan Hasselbeck.
So our corporate plug of the week is Cinematheque. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Cinematheque.
Cinémathèque.
There's a Q in there somewhere,
it's
right?
It's a French. Yeah, it's a French word. It ends in Q-U-E.
Well, hey, you went to French school, didn't you?
I did, actually.
You're an expert in the language.
I went to French school my entire life, and I also lived in Ottawa for a year, and I worked with nothing but Francophones.
Mm.
They were bilingual Francophones, but Francophone was their primary language, yeah. French was their primary language.
Oh, yeah. The Frank. They spoke Frank.
They spoke Frank, yeah.
There was no shit from them.
No.
It was all just like...
Merde, instead.
Oh, yeah.
actually, a funny story. We'll get to Cinémathèque in a minute here, but a funny story about that is pretty much all the French that I learned in school had to go out the door, and I had to pretty much relearn the language based on how they spoke there.
Is that different?
It's that different because they use a lot of slang, and they swear a lot. Like, they swear more than we do here. And the thing is, like, Manitoba French, the way that it's spoken on the streets is a very hybridized language. They, like, Manitoba Francophones will throw random English words, even random English sentences in, and you're speaking almost a perfect mixture of French and English in your regular dialogue, right? Whereas in French, in Quebec, in Gatineau and Ottawa, they don't do that. It's pretty much all French with, like, their own twist on it. So, like, here in Manitoba, we kind of learned France French, but, like, you speak it differently on the streets. There, it's Québécois, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole nother, it's not even French, it's just Québécois.
Mm.
I don't know how better to describe it. It's almost like the words you say don't matter as much as the inflection and the emotion you put behind it. They're very emotional speakers.
Kind of like Canadian English versus, like, say, Scottish English.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, very different, right? Like, yeah. I have trouble understanding people from Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, I totally do. I had a doctor who was Scottish, and, very, very hard to... You're dying.
Oh, geez.
No, I never was told
that would
I was
be
dying,
harsh. I'm dying.
Anyways.
Back to Cinémathèque.
Cinémathèque. Yeah. So, I didn't know this. The Winnipeg Film Group, this is their theater, their movie theater. And I didn't actually know this until just a little while ago. But
home base.
Yes, they do play movies there. And what's going on right now, so you can see the reflector tapes. And what the reflector tapes is here, I'll just read... Oh, that was sexy.
I know. Jeez, was it ever.
Sexy is the theme of this week's episode.
Yeah, we should call this one the sexy podcast. The sexy cast.
The sexy cast, yeah. So the reflector tapes, I'll just quickly read the write-up for it, is a fascinating insight into the making of Arcade Fire's international number one album called Reflector. And it's Reflector with a K. K-T-O-R.
Yeah.
How quaint. It charts the band's creative journey as they record in Montreal and play an impromptu gig before bringing their breathtaking live show to packed arenas in Los Angeles and London.
See, they say Montreal. See, that's like full circle in the Frenchness there.
Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Royal Mountain.
The Royal Mountain, yes.
Yeah, I've been there.
Another film that they're showing. Oh, and you can catch that Sunday... No, that's past. You can catch that Wednesday, November 4th at 7 p.m. or Thursday to Saturday at 7 or 9:30 p.m.
I think that speaking about Montreal now makes this a perfect transition into the Jets.
Well, I'm actually not finished with the plug yet, so save what you're going to say here, and I'm just going to highlight one more. Because they're showing 1, 2, 3, 4. They've got 5 movies that are now playing. So I want to highlight one more that seems really interesting, and it's the Steve Jobs, The Man in the Machine. The write-up here is a riveting new documentary look at Apple legend Steve Jobs, recently the subject of a new dramatic feature. Packed with great stories and exhaustively researched. There we go. The film explores his childhood years to his pioneering days with Apple and features great interviews. I know I really screwed up that read, didn't I?
Your reading is just verbose.
It's verbose.
I'm just using words because
you don't
you
even
use
know
that
what that
one
means,
word.
Do you?
It's big. It's intense.
Verbose means overly wordy.
That's
actually
what I mean. Yeah, it's verbose.
My reading is verbose. Yeah. No, it's not. I'm reading what is written. Therefore, it's not verbose. Just quickly here. Let me see if I can find.
Oh God, damn it! Okay, what's good? Cinema
they
Tech.
They are on Arthur Street. Sorry, they're at 100 Arthur Street. Email info@winnipegfilmgroup.com, and I do just want to see if they have some prices on here.
Oh yeah, that's great. wow, you know, it'd be great if we had some like waiting elevator music.
Oh yeah, that would
in the background.
That would be great.
That'd be awesome.
Anywho, you were gonna transition into the Jets.
Well, no, actually, now I'm gonna transition to something else. Because now we're talking about movies, and there's a movie coming out fairly shortly called Concussion with Will Smith. I don't know if you've seen any of these trailers for this movie.
I haven't.
It's about the guy who essentially discovers CTE and tries to.
What is CTE?
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I probably totally brutalized that last word.
Encephalopathy.
It's essentially a brain disease that causes symptoms such as depression, increased anger, like problems, that kind of stuff. It's a really horrible disease that is caused by concussions.
Okay.
Anyway, so this guy finds the science behind it, and he tries to tell the NFL, and the NFL tries to go public, and the NFL is like, "Nah, you're not doing that, bud. You're going to keep quiet there." And so I guess eventually things, you know, kind of came to a boiling point, and that's what this movie's about. And it'll be really eye-opening for a lot of people about the injuries and head injuries, especially in sport.
And so is this playing at Cinematheque?
It will be when it comes out. It's not out yet,
okay,
so
cool.
That's the thing.
Is this a true story?
It's releases on Christmas Day. It's a true story, absolutely, 100% true. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I like that.
The name of the doctor who's the main character, who's a real life person, is Dr. Bennett Umalu. So it takes place in I'm just reading a synopsis here about like the dates and stuff, because it's gonna be big. It's gonna be a big deal.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Well, okay, so we should break this into two things here, because this is totally distracting, but let's talk real quick. Favorite movie of all time? That's a hard question. I used to say, I used to be all over the place on this one. I used to say, like, I was thinking, you know, Casino Royale, maybe.
Is it Land Before Time?
Definitely not, no. Although I did like Land Before Time when I was a child.
I did
too. My favorite movie of all time is Empire Strikes Back.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I just watched that the other day, and I'm like,
so good.
I'm like, you know what?
Hoth.
I have a problem. Hoth. I have a problem with Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong. I love Star Wars, but there is no need for the Emperor and Darth Vader to go to such great lengths to turn Luke Skywalker. I mean, he's not even a Jedi yet in that one. Sure, he has the potential to have awesome power, but.
Okay.
They already rule the galaxy. The Rebellion is a joke.
Star Wars, yeah, no, I know, but here's the thing. Star Wars nerd time. The Emperor is power hungry. He's always been power hungry. He had power when he was in the Senate in the new movies, which, yeah. You know, say whatever you want to about that. He was power hungry then. And then he got control. He turns Vader. He wants more power all the time, and if they turn Luke over, that's more power for him, right? He has to be a really powerful henchman, and he's turned people before, so why not think he can turn Luke?
But what's he going to do with that power if he turns him? He's going to have no one to use it against. Hmm. Do you know what I mean? That's a major hole in the story.
There will always be rebels, though.
But like I said, the Rebellion's a literal joke. They could have crushed them at any time. Anytime.
Well, if they could have crushed him anytime, then why didn't they?
Well, because in A New Hope, somehow, and hold on, somehow they get their photon torpedoes to curve down that hole. Did you see that? They curve down the hole. That would never happen in real life.
That was the Rebellions.
Yeah, yes.
It's Star Wars. It's not real life.
Those photon torpedoes would have blown up against the entrance of the shaft.
That's Star Trek.
And nothing. What did I say?
You said photon torpedoes. That's Star Trek.
No, no, no. Those are that's on Star Wars. They say in A New Hope, they say only a precise blast with your photon torpedoes. Photon torpedoes are in Star Wars too, dude.
There. No, I'm looking it up, dude.
You do that.
This is getting nerdy real quick.
You look that up, man. I guarantee you that they're also.
Bombs that blew up the Death Star. Oh, bombs that blew up Hiroshima. That's nice.
That is not what we're talking about. Anyway, we need to move on.
Well, you got to share me what's your favorite movie, and then I'm going to ask you the next question after that.
I think it's probably Pulp Fiction.
Oh, that's a good answer. Pulp Fiction's a damn good movie. Yeah. I only saw Pulp Fiction 2 years ago for the first time.
Really?
Walking by at 22, so.
Okay. That's true.
That's like kind of that weird age where it's like I was too young when it came out, and I just never really got around to seeing it. And I got into like a big movie binge where I watched movies like Platoon and
Platoon's good.
Pulp Fiction, yeah. Platoon's good too. It's good. Not as good as Pulp Fiction, but it's good.
Yeah. I really like.
It was a great way to. Like, it was a really great movie on the Vietnam War. Probably the best one there is.
There's been really good Vietnam ones. We Were Soldiers.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good movie too.
I still think Platoon though.
Platoon's really good.
There's something special about Platoon because it's like Charlie. Even though Charlie Sheen's in it, he literally looks like a kid.
It's not Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
it's his dad. It's his old man.
No, Charlie Sheen is in it. Charlie Sheen is the kid in Platoon.
IMBD.
He's the main character. IMDb that shit. I am right, and I know that one. I know because I watched it more recently than you did. Martin Sheen was not in Platoon. Martin Sheen's been in a lot of stuff, though. And do you like Mighty Ducks movies? Because now I'm thinking about Emilio Estevez.
I hate those.
I get that. They're pretty cheesy and stupid.
Oh, you're right. It is Charlie Sheen.
What's up?
Damn it. We've had that argument before, too. I don't know why I keep on thinking that it was old man Sheen. Anyway, we got to talk sports.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to start. We're going to get the Bombers stuff out of the way. And the only reason why we're even going to talk about it is because it's actually quite an interesting dilemma. Being a team that you know, and when you still have games left and you know you're not going to make it into the playoffs. So the Bombers play this week after having last week off. They had the bye. Playing Toronto, last game of the season. On November 6th, which is Friday. Okay, so they play this Friday. And Clarence Denmark talking about at practice, talking about really how do you stay focused. And I think the way that the Bombers are trying to keep their players focused is by running really hard-nosed practices. So you got anything you want to say before we run the clip?
I'm busy looking at Star Wars stuff. Play the clip.
You loser. All right.
Bonk.
Good old IMAX sounds. Here we go.
You know, you have to come and prepare every year like you're going to make the playoffs and you're going to go all the way to the Grey Cup game.
You have 1 year left on your contract. Is there what points of optimism are there headed into next year and another year potentially under this coaching staff?
I mean, it's another year. You know, coming in, it's going to be a fresh start. Anything can happen. You can't. You have to look at it like that. You have to be positive and, you know, come in and work hard.
What do you guys want to accomplish this week? It's kind of a moot game for you guys, but an important one for Toronto. What do you guys want to accomplish in this?
We want to win. You know, we want to end the year with a win. That always makes it feel better. And going into next year, at least gives us something to build off of.
Right. Is Mike working you guys hard in practice this week? It seems like he's really trying to keep everything really high and up high tempo.
Yes, I think that's our mentality, to just keep everybody in it. You know, it's easy for guys to, you know, not be focused. So I think he's coming out here and making sure we stay focused.
Is that maybe an operation of determining who really wants to be here?
Exactly. I think, you know, we're all pros and this is our job, you know, regardless of what's going to happen, you know, after we don't have a playoff chance, it don't matter. This is our job, and we have one more week, and we have to do it.
Thanks, Chris. Apologies if you answered this already, but how much is it staying like you guys are practicing here this week, and you see the stadium set up for a Grey Cup game?
It's really tough this year because the Grey Cup is here. But, you know, just like I said, it's our job. We have to do it. But, you know, it stings just to know that, you know, we had a chance to be in it. We could have been in it if we would have handled our business this year.
And he's totally right. If they would have handled their business in games like going all the way back to July 18th against the Stampeders, that game in Calgary where they lost 26-25, one point. I mean, literally, that's booting it through the end zone. You know what I mean? Like a deep punt from the 40-yard line. That's the difference in the game. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
I totally do. And you can sit back and say, like, oh, you know, BC only won by 2 points. How close is that? It's actually, I was saying that while the clip was rolling. But it really does come down to those games. And I wanna highlight other games, too, here. The loss to Toronto by a touchdown. That's like losing a hockey game by one goal.
Yep. No, totally.
You know what I mean? A really close game. What other ones here? But there were blowouts too. But then another Calgary game where the one that was in Winnipeg, the 25-23 loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's like losing by a fraction of a goal in hockey. Like, just so close. And then losing to the Eskimos by 1 point a week later.
Yeah, it hurts.
Right? I mean, there were, like, this team was close.
They were close. But you know what? I'm actually, and I mean, this is kind of an evil thought to say, but I'm glad it's over just because.
Yeah, I am
it
too.
It was kind of miserable to watch. And even just to think that it's like we were in the position we were in and we could still make playoffs.
Yeah.
That's just kind of depressing in a way, right?
Yeah.
It would have been great to see, I mean, you know, the Bombers in the Grey Cup, but I think that went out the window when Drew Willey was hurt.
The other thing that really hurt us was the two in a row losses to Ottawa.
Yeah,
one by a field goal and one by a touchdown. You know what I mean? And both games, I thought the Bombers played well. These were games where I thought Nichols was finding stride with his receivers, and still no running game to speak of. And there's another big difference on the season too. But
hurts.
It does. Yeah, especially when. Yeah, like I said, you're so close. I mean, there were blowouts this season, but that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get blown out every now and then. Just some weeks, it's just not... Well, not.
Maybe you shouldn't get blown out.
I mean, yeah, well, I don't know.
A good team doesn't get blown out.
I'd want to look at whether or not Calgary's been blown out this season.
I would, too.
But,
you know, it's all this last game here is all about just preparing for next season. And you know what? Honestly... just because there won't be people watching in the stands that are Bomber fans, there will be, and there still will be. It'll be a lot of people still watching it on TV, I believe. And they got to put on a show for us. I mean, you know, especially us who support them through thick and thin, which is just about everybody that's a Bomber fan still. Because it's been, you know, 20-something years since we've won a cup, and it's been now 4 years since we made the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's been 4 years since we made the playoffs in a league with 9 teams, and 6 of them make the playoffs.
Primarily 8 teams.
That's, yeah, well, yeah.
Primarily,
other than
like...
the last 2 years.
I
guess what? The team that's just, like, new in the league, and this is second year, they're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, the closest that I can find for a Calgary blowout is, and it actually is kind of a blowout, is they lost to Montreal... early on in the season, 29-11.
It happens, man.
It does happen. It does happen. But that's one.
Yeah.
There's only one. And a lot of the times it's Calgary blowing out other teams.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, like 48-3 against the Red Blacks. that's harsh. But the Red Blacks are playoff bound and the Bombers are not. So there you go.
Is what it is, dude.
Yeah. We'll end Bomber talk unless you have something else. We'll end it with the, with Coach O'Shea talking about it.
One thing, look forward to next season.
Oh, totally, yeah.
That's it.
We already talked about the positives that we saw on this team last week.
Things are looking up. I still honestly believe that things are looking up. It's been a rough season, no doubt about that.
Do you keep O'Shea?
Yes.
You do, eh?
No question.
Okay.
I think that we need some stability.
You get rid of Belfay.
He's the only one that's going.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
I'm Belfay's confidence in Hall, in his defense. And I have confidence in O'Shea for sure, and they'll find a new special teams coordinator, I believe, because O'Shea assumed those roles when they fired their guy then back a while ago, when we started the show actually. You keep Walters for sure. I think Walters has actually done real good work finding guys like you know, Darvin Adams and getting Jamal Westerman and that kind of stuff. And I think that things look up. Things are good.
All right.
Things aren't good now. They will be good next year. And I think that we make playoffs next year.
We better, man. We better.
I think we do.
It's time for other teams to be the shit doggers of the league.
One thing
I think
does suck, though, real quickly, I think we need to get a running game. I don't think Paris Cotton's the answer. He'll be back next year. But I don't think Paris Cotton's the answer.
Paris Cotton had, well, and we talked about this last week a little bit, but Paris Cotton showed signs that he could be the guy. He just wasn't consistent. And I don't know if maybe that, well, no, he had a couple breakout plays, but.
This year anyway, but he only played so many games.
Yeah, he got injured kind of early on there. But,
nope, that's fair.
Moving along, we'll, let's get that clip rolling.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
What were you thinking?
Every last second.
What were you thinking when Toronto was mounting its comeback?
Yeah, they blocked the punt and they scored. They're right back in it. And, yeah, Ricky Foley blocks that field goal. There's still a chance, right?
Yeah. What was the initial thought after the game ended, I guess?
Well, nothing good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you reflect this week or were you just focused on Toronto next week?
I didn't reflect a lot, no.
No?
No, focused on Toronto, you know, believing that we were going to have this chance this week.
Yeah. So if I asked you why you didn't make the playoffs this year, you would say what? Wait
our
a week?
Record. And not good enough. You know, you can't expect to make the playoffs at 5-and, you know. We had opportunities to win other games, and we didn't win them, and we put ourselves in this spot. So when you are relying on other teams at the end of the season, you put yourself in a bad situation.
Yeah. This week, do you look at guys for next year, or do you stick with everybody you've played?
Of course, there has to be a bit of that.
There will
be. Obviously. Yeah. You know, every single game you step out on the field is an evaluation. So it's not just that we're using this game for an evaluation. There is going to be a couple roster moves. But like every other game, you want to win every game too. So we're not dialing back on the plan. We're going in there expecting to win the game. But there will be, obviously, a couple changes on the roster.
But no Drew Willie this week?
No Drew Willie, no.
Okay.
No, not sure yet. We'll have to evaluate throughout the week.
And your plans at quarterback, do you know what they are yet?
Not yet, no. Once again, that'll be an evaluation. Like every other week, it'll be an evaluation through the practice week and see how guys are playing and whether they give us a chance to win.
Speaking of evaluation, do you spend this week? It seems like you're really high tempo, working the guys really hard in practice, and this is a long prep week you guys have ahead, so probably an opportunity for you to do that. But do you spend this week kind of evaluating the guys on the team, the buy-in at this point, knowing that?
Well, everything's an evaluation. Yeah. I mean, this is one of the things. You're not, and the guys understand that. You know, there can't be a letdown because of their circumstance. You know, because of the circumstance we're in, they've got to go out there and play. For one, anytime you step on the football field, you're risking injury, right? And if you don't play hard, if you don't play, you know, at 100%, you're putting yourself at a greater risk of injury. So guys understand that. And they also understand that, you know, it's pro sport. It's a constant evaluation. And it's not just on field. It's how they prepare, too.
So do you maybe keep a keener eye on individuals' reactions showing up to work today?
I'm not keeping a keener eye, and the staff's not keeping a keener eye to catch somebody and make a note of it. They're keeping a keener eye so that you can help the player, so you can coach him through that and make sure he comes through this situation and becomes a better pro. It's not to evaluate and be able to single out. It's to help these guys grow as pros.
All right, moving on. Well, we don't need to beat the dead horse Bombers anymore. Yeah. You want to talk Bisons quick?
I will. I like beating dead horses, as you know.
I know you do. You love beating
so
dead horses.
So I was across the street from IGF, and I was doing Bisons games. I was doing, I wrote a women's hockey game, which they played the Calgary Dinos, who, just a fun fact here real quickly, some stats for you about women's hockey. The Calgary Dinos are winless so far this season. No, they have a win. That's not the important part, though. The lowest, like the most goals scored against is 35. That's Calgary Dinos, and that's in like 8 games. The next closest is 23. So that just shows you how bad the Calgary Dinos are. Tons of goals, you know, goals up the ass. It was great for that. Wrote the game, whatever. They did a whole thing for breast cancer where they gave away $2,000 to Breast Cancer Manitoba, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Way to go, girls. They swept the series. They won both games against the Dinos. More importantly, though, Friday night, I went to shoot some volleyball for a project.
Female volleyball?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
How are those those spankies though?
I'll get to it.
Oh, you're gonna get to it.
So I was shooting the men's volleyball, whatever, and I guess somebody couldn't make it. They didn't show up. So Chris Zook, who is my boss and I work very closely with him with projects and work and stuff like that with the Bisons, he's like, dude, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm just here to get some shots for the project. And he's like, can you like fill in on the webcast? Can you call volleyball? I'm like, I've never called volleyball before in my life. He's like, no, man, we need someone. And so I went up there and I did it with David Caroma. We called volleyball and I was awful. It was terrible. I got the hang of it. I was learning volleyball terms, you know, so that was that. But so went right before the men's game end, which here's a fun fact with the men's volleyball team. We're 4-0. They haven't lost. They're perfect this year. They also have never lost. They haven't lost a set yet this year. So they're perfect. Like, they have not been beaten at all.
Crazy.
Like, they're as perfect as you can get in volleyball, pretty much. But just as they're wrapping it up and they're closing off this game, 3-0, the women start warming up. But they're not warming up on the gym floor, which makes sense because the men are still playing down there. They're warming up where we do the webcast.
Beautiful.
So there's women in their little spanky shorts.
Bending over and stuff?
Yeah, essentially. to my right and to my left, and I'm trying to call plays, and it's like, it's noisy, it's distracting. Yeah, and then, it's
That's awesome, actually. So, you were doing that with Caroma.
It was, yeah.
Does he normally call a volleyball game for the Bisons, or?
A little bit. He usually writes them. He's more comfortable writing them.
Okay.
And he calls basketball sometimes, but
I didn't know he had that gig, too.
Yeah, he's got the gig, too.
Okay,
yeah,
that's Chrome cool.
And I'm calling
cool.
again. I'm calling volleyball again this Friday as well. So at least I've been told it's volleyball. I'm hoping it's not basketball because I've never done basketball, although I played basketball in high school, so I could do basketball no problem. I never played volleyball in my life. Didn't have a clue.
I played volleyball and basketball back in high school, but like with basketball, yeah. I had a real problem grasping the position names. Like point guard, don't know where he is. Don't know what he does. Guards, don't know what they do. You know what I mean? Like I was always like, can you just like talk to me in terms of like hockey? So if I'm in center, can you just call me center? And like if I'm on the wing, can you call me winger?
I guess that.
He's like, no, I can't do that because you need to learn the positions. I'm like, well, fuck it then, man. I ain't learning these positions.
And that was it for you?
I played the season, but like we didn't get a single win.
Oh,
not
wow.
One win in like eight or 10 games or whatever we played. Yeah, it was horrible, man. We were a horrible team.
My team went to the semifinals and we lost. So yeah. We lost to a rival too, but whatever.
We were a dirty team though. We took a lot fouls.
When we lost to a rival, we were losing by like 10 points, like a minute left, right? And it's like, we're not coming back from that. So I started throwing elbows.
Yeah, there you go.
And that was it for me in basketball. No, but the women, they haven't won a game all season and they actually lost in extra sets, which sucks.
Oh.
They lost in the fifth set, sorry, which is whatever. It sucks. Sucks for them.
It does suck for them.
So yeah, no, that's my little Bison story. I was doing it and I was thinking, I bet Sean would be jealous. And here you are. I see you turning green.
Turning green with envy.
With envy. Green with envy.
Yeah, you're all about your cliches, man.
Oh, I love my cliches.
That was just terrible.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's talk Jets. So the Jets, 2-1 since the last time we did a show. Lost. Their loss
Spit it out, fucking mumbly.
Their loss was at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Which, no surprise there. I didn't think the Jets were going to beat the Habs. They're the best team in the league right now.
You know what? So here's the funny thing, and I'm going to call out Scott Billick. He'll never hear this, but so he sent a tweet out Sunday night after the score was like 4-0, whatever. He's like, I never bought that Price being out for the Habs was like some sort of advantage for the Jets, and I'm like, okay. You don't get to do that. You don't get to, as somebody who's talking about sports, you don't get to say, I knew after something's happened. If you can do that if you said something beforehand, which he hadn't.
Are you sure that he hadn't said something beforehand?
Okay. At least not on Twitter. And it's just like, you just can't do that. Am I wrong? Am I right? As a sport, somebody involved in working in sports, you can't say, I knew this was going to happen, and then not have done anything in the first place. You can't say, oh, I would have taken the Bombers to win against Saskatchewan. I would have, unless you actually picked them beforehand.
But he does preview articles sometimes. So, like, maybe he wrote it down in a preview.
Maybe he did, but he certainly didn't do it on Twitter, and that's all I saw.
Well,
was Twitter.
I'd say before you go calling him out and getting pissed off, maybe I would see if he has, if he wrote it down in a preview. If he didn't, then I'd say, well, you know, yeah, it's kind of a cheap thing to say, I guess, if you're just going to say, well, yeah, I knew, whatever. But let's not discount the fact that he might have written that down in a preview. That seems like something, at least something that I would say, because Montreal's been a really solid team for a long time now.
No, they have.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it's not only Carey Price the reason why they're a good team
And you're right. And I think his point was that the Jets aren't the favorites to win now that Carey Price is out. But don't get me wrong, Carey Price being out does favor the Jets. Like, it is a good thing for the Jets.
Well, it didn't really favor them Sunday. They scored one.
Maybe this is me being crazy, but I'm a little bit upset too about the way people are treating this loss. They're saying big from concern. Think about it. They were on the road, back-to-back games. They played the day before.
Yep.
Like, can't.
They were in Columbus.
That's hard to do.
They were in Columbus, and then they go to Ohio the very next day. And then before that, last week, they played four games in 7 days. And then they had a back-to-backer after that fourth game. So, yes, they were tired, heavy legs, whatever. Columbus also played in back-to-backers when they faced us in Columbus on Saturday. And, Tortorella didn't use that as an excuse. He's like, you know what? No, the Jets have played three in their last four.
Because as a coach, you're not supposed to create excuses. As a fan, as a spectator, I can create excuses because there are excuses, and I think this is one of them. They would have played a lot better had that game not been a back to back.
I don't disagree with you. Still, they
might
should
have still lost.
Still, they should, if they want to be taken seriously in the Central Division as a playoff contender year in year out, you got to score more than one goal in a back to backer.
I agree, but my agreeance is tentative. That was very wordy. You're right. You do, but at the same point in time, you can't. I don't expect the Jets to win games where they're playing the best team in the NHL on a back-to-back road trip like that. You can't expect them to win that. Like they
you
might.
No, you can't expect them to
no,
win that because teams
you
win.
You shouldn't be expected
good,
to win that.
Good teams win in back-to-back situations. They do. They
not
have
always.
To. They well, no, not always, but. When you're clawing for a playoff position, and I know it's early, we're only in like just over an eighth of the way through the season. I know we're not fighting for playoffs position yet, but
you're always fighting for playoff position, man.
You are, because especially in the Central Division, last season we did not see very much movement in the standings in the Central Division. Teams pretty much stayed locked in where they were because that's how tough it is. But yeah, so moving forward from Montreal.
Moving backward, I guess, would be. Or do you want to talk about, like, what's coming up?
No. I want to talk about what Pomo said, how they're moving forward, like, how they're, like, emotionally moving forward.
Sure. You got a clip?
So we'll just roll that out right here.
What did you stress to your team today in lieu of Sunday's game?
Oh, more foundational than anything else, getting back to the things that we had done 24 hours earlier and had done the week prior. And then understanding that tomorrow's game is the answer to being able to say you burn the tape and you leave that one alone. That's all based on today's practice and tomorrow's effort.
So looks like Pomo wants to use the Toronto Maple Leafs as their punching bag to get over the loss in Montreal.
Well, I think this is a bit of a wake-up call in a little ways to the Jets. Yeah, they know that the Montreal is a far better team than Toronto, but at the same point in time, you can't falter against the Leafs. If you've got a team that you can squish, you got to squish them. So
yep, and it's kind of like last season they did it a couple times in must-win situations against bad teams where they kind of went in there thinking, "Oh, this is a gimme," right?
Well, I think that they actually capitalized on that last season for the most part.
There were a couple instances I can't remember specific. Well, no. I'm not saying that they missed anything because of it, but the fact was that it didn't have to be such a close race. Like, I remember there was games against like Columbus or something where they went in kind of cocky and whatever, and then they came out with a loss where it could have been. Could have been 2 points.
I don't remember that a ton last year. I remembered a lot more the year beforehand and the year before that too, yep, under Coach Claude Noel. But I think that Maurice has been really good about instilling that kind of importance in every game and every play and every minute on the ice. And I think they've really adjusted well to that. So here's a fun fact, though, about the Central Division and the NHL. Of the top 9 teams, 5 of them are in the Central Division.
Oh.
Let me double-check that math. Yep, 5 of the top 9 teams are in the Central Division. More than half of the top 9 teams are in the Central Division. And you know what sucks?
That makes sense, yeah.
At max, 5 teams can make it in the Central Division because of the way the wild card works. Only 2 wild card teams get in.
Yeah. And also, about the Central Division, the Jets would be in second place in most other divisions right now. Second or third.
Or first in the Pacific.
No, because Vancouver just won yesterday day before.
Here's the way it works, though, because Vancouver has 4 overtime losses and we have 7 regular season wins. They have the same points as us, but because we have more regular regulation wins, we'd be ahead of them.
I see what you're saying, but they have 16 points. And we have
they 15. Do have 16 points. We have 16 points, but we still be ahead of them mathematically.
I think we have 15 points.
No, I'm right looking now. At it right here, dude.
Are you?
Oh, you're right. It's 15. Fuck.
Yeah, see? Anyway, but yeah, second or third place anywhere else in the league except for here. Now we're in what, 5th?
That's right. Yeah, we're in 5th.
Yeah.
If playoffs were to start today, we'd finish like in the essentially what would be the 8th seed.
Yeah, the second.
We'd have to play Dallas in the first round.
Yeah, and Dallas, man, they're a good team this year.
You know what? They were a good team last year too, but they just had a lot of issues and they couldn't get things going together. I think it's just a matter of time. They get the glue sticking.
They didn't change a lot of their personnel. Hey, like they picked up guys like Sharp and I think they made one other acquisition.
They got another goaltender. They got Niemi.
They did get Niemi. That's who I'm thinking of, too. So they picked up Sharp and Niemi, and I guess that's making all the difference for them. Hey, maybe they just needed that one more season for their younger guys to gel together.
Yeah,
hey?
A little bit of that, too. And you got Ben playing hot. You got Spezza actually playing up to what Spezza can play at this point in his career. And you got Sagan playing great. You know, they're a good team. They got a lot of skill there. I don't know that they can sustain it. I don't know that they are, say, the St. Louis Blues.
So are you calling like a midseason drop-off?
I don't know if I call a midseason drop-off. I don't get me wrong. I don't think they're going to like fall off the map. I just don't know that they hold on to that top spot all season long.
Yeah, I mean, with teams like Nashville and St. Louis, right, clawing at their heels, I'm sure it's only a matter of time. That'll be an interesting one to watch, though, as the season progresses. It's still early. We're an 1/8 of the way through. Speaking of the Central Division, play a quick promo on the Central Division and the size.
That's a good point.
More specifically.
More or less.
I'm having trouble talking today.
You mentioned how heavy the Central Division is. Where is the weak team in that division? Is there one?
We hope not, right? We're competing with some veteran groups in that, and there just doesn't seem to. I think everybody says the same thing, that all the divisional games are competitive, but you're not showing up to any of those games, throwing out your B game and expecting to win. You just lose, which is, for us, you know, a great challenge, but it's the best thing that you could hope for with a young team. Because when you look at what Mark Scheifele and Lowry and Ehlers and Trouba and Kopp and Patan, and you know, we've got half our group are fairly young guys. That's the only thing that they know. So they came into the league in the Central Division. They just, every night is like that in the Central. It's a great training ground for them to get their level to where it needs to be. It doesn't matter whether it's October or the end of the year. You know, when we've played, I think, 8 playoff teams in our first 12. One of them that wasn't was the LA Kings. So you're getting it regardless of what happened from last year with these teams. You know, San Jose's back and they'll be strong. It's just it's a tough, hard-fought division, but a fantastic proving ground and training ground.
Too true. Too true. And I like that answer, too, when he was asked about if there are any weaker teams. I like his answer. He says, we hope not.
Yeah, well.
So it's like, he doesn't want success just because he's playing like crappy teams. He wants to beat the best.
And that's the thing. It's one of those things that it's like, sure, the Jets are in the hardest division in hockey. And I say that with complete confidence that that's the truth. It is.
Yeah.
That's the hardest conference division in hockey.
Yep.
But he's right in a way to win the Stanley Cup, to be the number one team. You need to be better than all the other good teams.
Yep.
And so even if all those other good teams are in your division, you got to beat them. If you don't beat those other good teams in your league, you're nothing. If you're not first, you're last. Yep. Ricky Bobby. Yeah, that's right.
You had to go there, hey?
I live by that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of true.
And I'm last all my life.
There's that self-deprecation again.
Yeah.
Self-defecation.
I love self-defecation. God damn it, that's going to be in the intro. You know, it's funny, actually. You talk about the size of the Jets and how Paul Maurice there talked about the size of the Jets. I mean, he's right. They're huge. I mean, overall compared to other teams. And
second largest team in the league.
Rodgers is talking about that in their promos for this Wednesday's game against the Leafs, which, I got to be honest, I think sucks. I don't want to watch the Jets play the
You don't want to watch Leafs. The Leafs in any facet, even if the Jets are playing them?
I don't want to watch the Jets playing the Leafs like really that much anyway, although it would be really satisfying if they can stomp them. But I don't want to watch it on Rodgers. No. I don't know. Do you feel the same way?
No, I do, because it's so biased towards everything Toronto.
I just like, can we like retroactively, like they said that, like, you know, oh, you'll get used to it. You'll like it in time. It's a year later. I still don't like it. I don't like it. I just really don't.
No, you're right. I mean, they have a heavy bias to the Leafs, even though the Leafs are a crap team year in, year out. I don't know where they get off having this bias, but it's there.
It's really depressing to me.
But let's give them a chance to redeem themselves.
Talking about the Leafs?
Or no, Rodgers. No, Rodgers, yeah. Let's give them a chance to redeem themselves.
Well, I wanted to, and I was one of the people that was backing them and saying, you know, like, yeah, I like the TSN feed. I like it. I think TSN does a really, really great job. I still believe that. But I was like, you know, Rodgers can do it. They can absolutely do it. You can fall in love with it, and it'll be great. I don't feel that way right now. And in fact, I'm actually depressed with what they have done to hockey in Canada. I think that they have damaged Hockey Night in Canada permanently. I don't think there's any coming back for Hockey Night in Canada. It is not the same show. It is not the same broadcast. It does not have the same power it used to have. And maybe that part of that's time changing, and there being more hockey just available all the time. And it's not just Saturday night that you sit down and watch a hockey game. You watch it whenever you want. Mm. But for me, I was introduced in hockey in my entire life. The first thing, like how I was introduced in hockey, was watching Hockey Night in Canada, watching the Flyers play the Devils. That was Hockey Night in Canada to me. Ron McLean, Don Cherry, you know, Bob Cole, Jim Houston, Craig Simpson, all those guys. That was Hockey Night in Canada. That was hockey to me. And I feel like they have damaged that.
Bob Cole's too old.
I agree.
I don't think he should be calling games anymore.
And there's definitely a time to pass the torch. There's definitely time to pass the torch.
So are you saying then that a big issue that you have with Hockey Night in Canada is the fact that Ron McLean is no longer hosting? Like, are you?
Yeah, I think that sucks.
Are you upset with George Strombolopoulos?
No, I like George a lot. I really do. And I actually don't have a problem with his hosting so much. I don't know. The thing is, I prefer Ron McLean to it. And I think Ron McLean needs to be there.
I agree. I loved Ron McLean hosting Hockey Night in Canada. I think he did a way, way, way better job than Strombo. Don't get me wrong. I like Strombo too. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got his time and his place, and his time is another time in another place. It's not hosting Hockey Night in Canada. I don't think he does.
It might be this time. It's just not this place.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Strombo show.
I watched it before when it was called The Hour.
And then
he went to CNN in the States, and that didn't pan out, and so he came back into the Strombo show. I liked The Hour a lot. It was actually like that was like my Canadian content. I would watch it like every night at 11.
Yeah. Did you see or am I thinking of something else? I think he had Captain Kirk there, William Shatner. Didn't he have William Shatner on the Strombo show one time?
And it was everyone, man. If you were Canadian, you were on the Strombo show. Yeah, that was the go-to night show.
Yeah, no, I like the Strombo show, and I just wish that he was still, like, I mean, he is still doing that, I think, right? No. Oh.
He's talking in Canada. I mean, he's busy with that.
No, I get that he's busy with that, but I thought, like, I see him tweet out stuff about, like, on the Strombo show and stuff. I think he might still be doing it.
I'll Google real quickly here. I'll get the Google machine going.
Yeah,
but,
Google that up real quick. But yeah, I mean, Ron McLean just had a certain kind of thing. Like, it was maybe it's his hockey knowledge from being a ref for so long, right? Like,
well, he was never a ref in the NHL. Actually.
No. I know that. I'm not saying that he was, but I just love the way that if someone was talking and they were wrong, Ron McLean would not be afraid to say, no, you are wrong. Listen to me now. I know this. You're wrong. This is how it actually is. And I remember him doing that on a few occasions, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, man. You know what I mean? And yeah, I haven't really seen Strombo do that. I don't know that he can yet.
So the Strombo Show is a radio show, radio program. He still does it, but it's only on like CBC Radio.
So he's on CBC Radio
and SoundCloud.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That makes sense as to why I haven't seen it on TV. Mm-hmm. But he's still tweeting about the Strombo Show. So yeah.
Exactly.
There you go, George Strombolopoulos hour on.
Also, yeah, yeah. Also, you know who I do like?
Who?
Darren Millard. How do you feel about Darren?
Meh.
I get that. He's not that, like, he's not crazy outgoing or anything like that, but I think that he brings, like, a clean, needed, just authoritative kind of feel to the host desk.
Yeah.
Not as kind of goofy and silly and funny and biased as Strombo is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's very fair and just, like, neutral. He doesn't make you upset. He won't make you overly happy, but he won't make you upset. You know, it's funny about Darren Millard, too. I bring him up because I'm a big fan about him, actually. I think he might be my favorite person on that Rogers telecast. He worked for my dad at McDonald's in Brandon.
Really?
Yeah. My dad's always like, you should. He's like, you should call, you should, you know, send a tweet to Darren Millard. My dad doesn't know what Twitter is anyway. He's like, you should Twitter at him and you should tell him if he remembers Mike Hasselbeck. He used to call him a little shit. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, I'm gonna talk to that, you know, talk about that with him. So.
So,
what do you, Dad?
So, okay. We gotta move on here.
Yeah.
Getting a little bit time crunch here. Dustin Byfuglien.
Oh yeah.
The hit on Brendan Gallagher.
It's like took a 90-degree turn there.
Did you see? Yeah. That's called a hard segue.
Hard turn.
It's like a hard lead.
Just like getting hit by Byfuglien.
Just like getting hit by Byfuglien. There's a segue. Yeah. All right. So, news, actually, this came out just 5 hours ago, and I'm learning this for the first time. He's not going to be disciplined from the NHL for the hit.
Mm.
So they decided not to fine him or suspend him or anything. Did you see the hit?
Yeah, it was clean.
I thought it was clean, too. He still got a penalty
bit of an
for
elbow.
It, though, didn't he?
A little bit of an elbow.
I think that elbow was a follow-through, though.
Yeah, I get that. And it was like definitely not worth the suspension, though.
A lot of people, and I've seen this from Byfuglien and other guys, too, a lot of people fly off the handle when they see that kind of chicken wing come out. But it's like the natural progression of the motion of a hit. It's a follow-through, just like on a golf swing, you know what I mean? You're not going to stop your swing halfway through because you're going to screw up your shot.
Exactly.
Right?
No, you're right.
Byfuglien, I guess he did catch him in the head, but this is a problem that Byfuglien has. He's so much bigger than a lot of other guys.
Yeah, and Paul Maurice talked about that.
He did, yeah, and that's why I'm kind of saying this because I wanna kind of lead into that clip. But just a devastating hit on Gallagher. So basically,
Brendan Gallagher's a little shit, by the way.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Yeah.
But Gallagher's coming across the neutral zone. Byfuglien, you could tell he's lining him up, and I didn't think that he actually unloaded on Gallagher either. Like, I know that Byfuglien could have hit him a lot harder. Mm-hmm. It's just because Gallagher's so small and it looked so dramatic. He flipped all the way, basically did a backflip on the ice. You know, like one of those video game style hits, like when you really lay the guy out in like NHL 2K or whatever. Yeah, it was pretty much like that. Gallagher got up right away and started chirping. As he does. But let's roll the Coach Pomo talking about mm-hmm. Dustin Byfuglien.
Wait on me.
When the hit happened immediately after, did you think that that might be something that the league would have to deal with at that point?
Well, there was a penalty on it. Maybe. No.
I think Byfuglien almost had a disadvantage at times just because he is so big and bigger than a lot of different guys in the
Let me tell you
position.
What. I don't know if you saw the hit on Jay Bollmeister. It was clean. It was all day long. He could do that on everyone. He's laid off on just about 95% of every hit he's ever given. If he wanted to, most of what he does, to be honest with you, is bumps into guys, let alone drives into them, rarely. He's that powerful.
Paul, he just told us he thinks he's getting the of the stick on this call.
It's a positive attitude we're looking for. Okay. I'll wait to see what end we're getting.
Well, good thing for Pomo there is they actually turned out that they got the good end of the stick and not the shit end of the stick.
Well, I was going to say that might be the best quote I've ever heard from anyone. Shit end of the stick.
And the funny thing is that it's not actually the person that they're quoting. It's the reporter who's saying that.
He's quoting he's quoting Bufflin.
Oh, Bufflin said that. Okay.
Bufflin believes he's getting the shit end of the stick, which is great. Which
good
is
old
fantastic.
Buff, good old.
Also,
buff.
I think that means. And correct me if I'm wrong. The shit end of the stick is not a phrase. It's the short end of the stick, right?
I think it is the short end of the stick. Yeah, because so it's like when you draw straws, right? You used to draw sticks to see who would do.
So you know what this means?
The crappy part of the job.
Bufflin also butchers his words like I do.
Are you trying to compare?
Phrases.
Are you trying to compare yourself to Bufflin?
I am Dustin Bufflin.
You are not Dustin Bufflin. You are far, far from Dustin Bufflin.
Yeah, no, Bufflin always like that. It's true though.
Bufflin's probably right. Got 100 pounds on you too.
There's
hey,
no question. Bufflin's got 100 pounds on me. Yeah, no question. But Bufflin. There's no question that he has to let up on all of his hits. Because if he were honestly to hit people with his weight, with his body, he could literally kill somebody.
I don't know how many times. Yeah, you're right. He could.
He could literally kill somebody. If he were to hit Brendan Gallagher with all the weight and force that he has, he could literally kill Brendan Gallagher.
Yep. And I think he knows that. And that's why he's probably so pissed off about getting the, quote, shit end of the
stick.
Because
he's getting
like,
the shit end of the stick. He has to play different than every other player.
Yep.
Because he's bigger than every other player.
Yeah, and if I would have been really pissed if the league had decided to suspend or fine him for that, because it's just you're punishing Bufflin for being Bufflin. You can't punish a guy for being bigger and stronger than literally everybody else in the league.
I know, right? You would never punish Sidney Crosby because he's a better passer than anyone else.
I know,
right?
Because there's just no facet to do that.
It's stupid. It's dumb. Yeah. If he's playing legally, if he's hitting people hard legally, then he shouldn't be penalized. That's dumb.
And Pomo brought up
But he has to.
Bollmeister hit there, and I don't think I remember seeing that one. Do you?
I don't know which.
I don't know exactly.
Talking
which.
About Brian Little hitting Bollmeister, but I'm not sure. I honestly don't know.
Little's not that big of a hitter though, and I think Bollmeister is a little bit bigger, or maybe quite a bit bigger than Little. So I don't know if that really makes sense. But I've seen Bufflin line up so many guys, and then I get like excited. I'm like, oh, he's gonna kill him.
You can see it coming.
But then he lets up. He always
has to.
It's true,
dude. He has to.
Most of the time, he lets up, and it's kind of like it's like anticlimactic for the viewer because like you want to see someone get crushed.
What if you were to put Stewart's attitude into Bufflin's body?
Oh man, he'd be suspended so often.
Yeah, he would.
So often. Yeah,
he would.
Yeah. Because Stewart. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all I'm going to say.
What I mean.
He'd get suspended way too often.
Yeah, totally.
And no team would ever want him. Stewart's lucky that he's kind of like a mid-sized guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually don't think Stewart's ever been suspended, which is impressive to me considering how he plays. Although, you know what? He hits hard, but he actually always hits clean.
Yep.
Does.
So yep.
That's the thing there. You get any clips left?
I do.
What do you got?
Well, there's the one about Andrew Kopp being hurt. I didn't see what happened.
I didn't either.
But apparently he's day-to-day. So you want to play that one?
Yeah, sure.
He's not gonna be available for us the next two games, and we'll get a better idea when we get back to Winnipeg.
So two games for Kopp gonna be out. So I would imagine they're probably gonna put Nick Pitan in between Thorburn and Peluso.
Man, that's a weird line, eh? You got two bruisers with a
finesse guy.
Yeah,
in the middle, yeah.
But I mean, you don't really have a lot of other options at center.
No, there isn't. So yeah, that'll be interesting. I think that'll play out pretty well though. I mean, Peluso looked good in the Columbus game. He had a really good game.
Looked useless in the game against the Blues, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
That's my two cents on that one.
Peluso's kind of hit and miss that way. Like he's he's either plays really well. Actually, he even got a couple scoring chances in that game against Columbus which I was really really kind of shocked about. But anyway, and then this actually kind of leads into the next clip where Pomo talks about Nick Pitan. and the fourth line and how he has confidence in his fourth line. So let's give a listen to that.
Ask you, Nick Batan, just kind of the role that you've got him in. It is a unique role, and I know you've kind of been asked about it before. But
kind of a change in the league, I think. He's a skilled guy, can move the puck around, and he plays power play coming off the fourth line. We can move him up on the wings. He's going to have to earn enough minutes there in that role, in that line, in the games that he's in, to make us feel like he's developing. We feel the practices that he's had, that it is a good option for him. His hand skills are NHL ready and great. There's a curve for all these guys learning the game. He's going through that now. If he can continue to grow and keep going in that role, he gets to stay. But I think we're going to want to make sure he's staying sharp and he's staying on top of his game.
You see that as with special teams gaining more and more importance, well, that teams are going to have that?
Yeah, I think there's still a heavier look to the fourth lines in the Central Division and the Western Conference than maybe that we see here in the East. So there's still that, but I think you're eventually going to that you're going to have. We have to play four lines more than we did last year, just based on personnel. When everybody's healthy, we feel we can. But to have some skill there helps. We've got a big team, so we've got enough size in our lineup that we can have two or three guys that don't have an awful lot of size. Everybody has to bring something to the table, of course, but we have a bit of a unique group and that we can have a few smaller young players, I think, in our lineup.
And we've talked about this on the show before too. And it's funny how Nick Petan, even though he made the team, he still hasn't quite made the team yet. He hasn't really impressed. Well, that's not true. Pomo just doesn't seem ready to admit that that Petan has a permanent spot on this team yet. I mean, he's been subbing him out for Peluso almost at a 50-50 rate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
it depends on the game and how he feels about the game. He feels that it's important to have that bruiser in, which I feel like you already have with Thorburn anyway, but whatever, that's how Pomo feels. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we have talked about this on the show before too, where and Pomo mentioned it, today's game, you can have smaller guys like Ehlers.
I think you can.
Patan. And so the way that the game is evolving, it's evolving away from the big enforcers. And that's why you see it in the Central Division, where these teams are pushing their enforcers down to the fourth line. So they get, you know, between 5 and 10 minutes per night, instead of 20 years ago when you'd have an enforcer on almost every line, and they would log. Like, there was a guy whose sole job was protecting Gretzky. If you touched Gretzky,
who was that again?
I can't remember.
It wasn't Marty McSorley.
Well, maybe it was.
Shit,
actually,
I can't remember who it was, but I remember.
I should know this because I was alive then for some of that. No,
do you want me to Google it?
Yeah, I'm Googling it right now. Let's see. Gretzky's enforcer.
Dave Semenko?
That's the one. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I beat you to it. I win.
You did.
And Dave Semenko actually had some pretty decent stats when he was on Gretzky's line. But that being said, my dad always used to say a great thing, that a dumpster could have scored 100 goals in a season with Gretzky on its line.
Yeah, exactly. So. And that's part of the reason why your buddy Phil Kessel has been on
Crosby's line anymore, man.
They moved him. Oh, did they?
Yeah, they moved him.
So where are they now?
Fun fact about Dave Semenko, he's from Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah?
Winnipeg-born gentleman, 58 years old currently.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. So where'd Kessel go? Is he down on the fourth line where he belongs?
No, he's on the third line, which is like
first
line in the NHL. Well, because the thing is, he's not playing with Malkin. Malkin's line's set. He's not playing with Crosby, so therefore he has to be on the third line.
Yep.
He's getting second line minutes, though.
That's all right. That guy is a walking, skating dumpster. Just like your dad said about Semenko, a dumpster could score.
A dumpster that can score.
There is Phil Kessel. Amen. He is actually a dumpster.
You try scoring 30-plus goals in a season when you play for the Maple Leafs.
No problem.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah.
Somebody's got to get the goals. No one else in that team.
Yeah, the Leafs had 30-plus goals all season, and they were all Phil Kessels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. You got anything else? Are we done?
Nope. We are out of here.
Oh, I like it.
So this has been week 9. I can't believe iTunes hasn't shut us down yet.
I don't think iTunes has that authority.
Maybe not. Maybe that's why we've survived so long.
I can't believe nobody has shut us down at this point. iTunes.
Yeah.
School.
Yeah. Somehow we just keep on surviving.
Toronto Maple Leafs. Who else do we shit talk all the time?
Rogers.
Rogers. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, you shit talk
Rogers is coming after us this week.
Yeah. I try to keep my shit talking to...
Honestly, I don't have a problem with Rogers, the company. I just don't like their telecast. That's it.
I guess that's fair.
And I like a lot of other Rogers properties.
You're like a shit-talky mushroom.
Of course.
There's my terrible joke for the week. Anyway.
You know what that means?
What?
Peace out!
This has been our 9th episode of Crossover Sportscast. I'm Sean, and that's Hasselhoff over there.
Did I peace out too early?
Yes, you did.
All right.